Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. All right. Praise the Lord again. Yes. Praise Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All righty. A couple of announcements. Okay. Or a couple of things I want to address. One of them was I liked what Chuck said about the audit, but I would remind you that we're audited on a moment-by-moment basis with God. And let me tell you what is found out in the audit, and that is that we're guilty, except we have an account manager called an intercessor that steps in and says, but this is what's covered this problem. It's already been paid. We're not issued another bill. We like to have use catch-all phrases like we're all human. No, I'm not. I'm not. I was born of a father that's not human. Amen. And we'll let the humans worry about that. Otherwise, I'm doing my best to be more spiritual than human. Amen. Sometimes I grade myself low, but thank the Lord he does not. Amen. The try is what he wants, not the hit. The try is what he wants. The IRS should be so understanding. And I think probably that's what, with God's help, they saw in you, that you're trying. So, second is that we don't have a season without Jesus. What she was trying to say is sometimes we get our eyes fixed on the season and we forget that Jesus is the reason for our Thanksgiving. Yes, right. And Jesus is the reason for Christmas, our Thanksgiving. Yes. Let's don't forget that. A little call to order. When there's an offering taken up, please consult the pastor first. Then he won't be caught off guard, and maybe he might be able to prepare something that would help you. Is that good enough? Okay. Now let me remind you about offerings. Tithe is not offering. Tithe is not seed. You won't get anything but curses lifted by giving tithe. Let me say it the other way. If you don't tithe, you'll be cursed. As a man with a hole in his pocket. That's what the Bible says. But anything above that, speaking as a farmer, you seed for a harvest, and the harvest is in the seed. The harvest is not in the harvest. The harvest is in the seed. So if you want God to be good for you, with you, for you, and on your behalf in a harvest, then you go beyond the tithe and you give a seed so he can bless the seed.
And you'll be blessed.
That's right. That's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. What does it say? As long as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, the law of seed time and harvest prevails. In the old, if you look in your Strong's, you'll find seed time and harvest is not what it says. It says seed time harvest. It's one word. We decided to make it two. It's like salvation and healing. We did that. God didn't do it. We did it. It's all one. So bring offerings. This is not tithes. If you take it out of the tithe, if you in any way, shape, form, or fashion give to a ministry before your tithe, you're still walking in a curse, and it negates the harvest. Do I need to say that again? How many of you, you're not on with me. How many of you know that God is a procedural God? He does everything in order. He's not a man. He can't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one that is telling you what I'm telling you now. The tithe belongs to him. You want the lights kept on, you pay your tithe. Otherwise, you walk in darkness. Is that plain enough? Pays the utility bills. Offering and alms are what comes before, after that, and that's above and beyond the tithe. That is where your harvest is going to come from. All right. One other thing. This is another procedural thing. And we've talked about this Tuesday. There's already things being corrected. This is not harping on anything. This is reminding everybody that did not hear. Everything that's gotten in the food bank belongs to the church. You picking it up gives you no special privileges to make decisions over it. The church has decided that we are going to give what we get under tax numbers. In other words, they're not giving to you, they're giving to the church. Without the tax number, you don't get it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We've decided that we're going to give that to the elderly, number one. And on special cases, the needy, number two. Some of it, the workers can partake of, but they're the minority. Nowhere else does this go. Okay? Yeah. And those decisions will be made in the leadership of the food bank, not on your own. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
All right. That only makes sense to me. I just want to remind us that that's the way it works. By the way, you know why we want to work it that way? Because I've based this decision on the command of the Bible, not my decision. Our command is to take care of widows and orphans. In the United States, we don't have orphans. Now understand, every rule can be broken with a special instance, and we're open to that. We want to deal with the elderly. We want to give them honor. Those that are on fixed incomes and can't afford those extras, that's what we want to first and primarily go to. I believe that's where the blessings of God are. They're not in picking it up for ourselves and taking it for ourselves. They're not to pick up so we can give to our special friends. Okay? All right. May God add His wisdom to that. All right. I want to preach you a message that I was instructed to reiterate. That means I've done this one before. I don't usually do that. That's right. There's nothing new under the sun. And I got a blessing in a reminder. And so I'm going to share that with you this morning. Father, we want to hear from you. Yes. We're not interested in whether I preached it or Timbuktu preached it. We don't care. We want it to be your word, your will, and your way. Yes. We need to be fired up this morning by your presence, by your will, by your word. We open our hearts and our ears to you today. Let us hear from you. I don't want to hear from me, and they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you this morning. So be it in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says amen. Amen. All righty. I want to give you 10 ways to avoid the presence of God. 10 ways to avoid the will and the word from God. Now, we're doing this. Nobody wants to know this, but sometimes, in other words, I don't expect you to take notes and obey these. I expect you to take notes and disobey them. Does that make sense? But I remember one time a goofy preacher preached one time 10 ways to keep a church from growing, and I never will forget that message because that's just not how we teach. But it was very effective. So I want to say 10 ways to avoid the presence of God and all His blessings. Anybody into the blessings of God?
Yes.
Then you're not going to get it without Him being there.
That's right.
You're not going to get it without you listening to Him and obeying Him. All right, number one. The number one way in the whole world, it's just not number one on the list, but it's the top of the list, to avoid the presence of God and to stay away from His blessings is worry. It's also the number one way to get sick, the number one way to have ulcers, the number one way to lose all your friends, the number one way to not have anybody want to listen to you is to worry. You can worry about your past. How many of you just worried about your past? When the IRS said audit, you started worrying about your past. Oh, and then, of course, the devil helps. He throws things up that might be shady. Somebody asked me one time, is there any way to totally and legally obey all the laws of your government? And I said, absolutely not. It's impossible. Statistics show that your government passes approximately 500 new laws per day. And not even our law enforcement officers can enforce them because they can't even figure them out. So we cannot obey every law of the land. Please don't let somebody put that on your shoulders. They'll try. You do the best you can. You let God take care of the rest. Amen. Don't worry about your past. Some sin that was committed and you know it was a sin, you're not supposed to remember that because God doesn't remember it.
That's right.
In Psalms 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us.
That's right.
Now, you know what Christians want to do? They want to say, well, that was a line back there on the day that I gave my heart to God, and it's never happened since. Excuse me, I'm feeling laundry this morning. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. The devil will tell you that your transgressions are not forgiven after you know better. Well, that is true eventually, but it's not true for those that are trying to do right.
Amen.
All right, you better get in that category or you'll be the worrier. You can worry about today. Most people that can't worry about yesterday will definitely worry about today. I thought the Bible said take no thought for today. Let today take care of itself. But if you want to avoid the presence of God, you want to stay out of the blessings, worry about today. Psalms 37, 7 through 9 says, rest in the Lord. Psalms 37, 7 through 9 says, rest in the Lord. They should have made that worry in the Lord, don't you think?
Nope.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for what?
Him.
So what's our answer?
Him.
Yes.
Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Y'all have a hard time with that? I do. A lot of people would be kneecapped with a 30-06 if it wasn't for God. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. We've been given, Connie and I have been given so many opportunities to worry in the last year. In the last year, we've had people withhold $50,000 in payments to us. $50,000 in payments. Is that cause for worry? It is if you're in the flesh. Because there's people that want you to pay those things, you know? $50,000. Now, I promise you, a number of years ago when I wasn't seeking God, those people would not be here to worry about where they paid me or not. This good old Texas boy knew how to handle those kind of things. Now I know how to handle those kind of things. I seek God. And when I don't seek God, I worry.
That's right.
And when I worry, I want to stop that, so I seek God. And the worry quits.
Right.
Come on.
That's right.
Do not fret, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
That's right.
Now, do I really want to hurt someone that's hurt me? Is that the best way to punish them?
Nope. No.
What's the best way to punish them?
Let God handle it.
Let God handle it. Because this says, for evildoers shall be cut off. It's not talking about me cutting them off. It's talking about God taking care of them.
Amen.
But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Another thing we worry about. Tomorrow. Now I've just covered it all, haven't I? You worry about yesterday, or worry about today, or worry about tomorrow. The future. Can I ask you, for the sinner, for the one that's doing wrong, what future do they have? That's no future, is it? We're the only ones that have a future.
Right.
It's given to us by God. Right. So if we're worried about the future, who should we be seeking about the future?
God.
Who is our future? Matthew 6, 29 through 33. This is New Testament, what God says about us. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O of your little faith? That means if you're worrying, you don't have any faith. Therefore, do not worry. By the way, look that up. I bet you a dollar it's red letter. You know what that means? That means Jesus said it, and he doesn't want your opinion about it. He don't want any buts. He just says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?
Amen.
But you don't understand, God. The IRS took my money, and those people stole my money, and blah, 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 blah. The only but in there is you. He says, don't worry. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Can I paraphrase that just for a second?
Yes.
Who do you think you are trying to tell God what you need? You think he doesn't know? You think he doesn't know better than you? That's a question. So if I really have a need and the answer's in him, my call should be God.
Amen.
Not could you get me my $50,000. Because see, what he might want to do is give me more than that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to limit him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, what do we seek first? How we can hurt him, right? How we can correct the situation.
Kingdom of God.
Do you think, by the way, in our work, in our business, in our thought processes, do you think the kingdom of God would suggest to you anything but great things? If you ran into a problem that you could not find the solution, you've just strained your little brain and nothing comes out right, maybe we shouldn't have strained our brain. Maybe we could have sought the kingdom of God first. Do you think he'll give you an inferior solution?
No way.
Do you think it might be a better solution than you could come up with?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I can't tell you in my life how many times I run into a problem and every time we want to strain our brains. And I mean, I've strained mine till I'm worn out. And finally, I get a little bit of intelligence. And I say, I'm going to walk away from this thing. God will give me an idea. It'll all be out tomorrow. It'll all be fine. That's our future in Christ Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And come back and boom, just like that, the total answer's there. He tells you how to handle it. Seek first the kingdom of God. All right. That covers worry, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The number two way to avoid the presence of God and all His blessings is to speak your mind. You know, let that sink in just a little bit. Just go ahead and speak your mind and watch God say, I'm not having anything to do with that mess. Whose mind are we supposed to be speaking?
Jesus.
Okay. 10 ways. Speak your mind. Never use the word. If you want the blessings to stay away from you, never use the word of God. Only speak the facts, and you never will be blessed. Never tell the truth, only speak the facts. Speak whatever's on your mind, anytime, and base it on according to your feeling. You want to see God get on His horse and ride away? Speak your mind according to your feeling. I know our society wants you to let your feelings out. I don't. You put them under your feet. Your feelings will never accomplish anything. God's truth will accomplish everything. Put your feelings under your feet. If your feelings are hurt, put them under your feet. If you're mad, put them under your feet. If you're afraid, put them under your feet. How do you do that? Word of God. Don't be called, oh, of you little faith. Speak the word. Be a man of faith or a woman of faith. In Ephesians 4, 25 through 27, therefore putting away lying. You know what a lie is? Anything but the truth. That's what a lie is. A lie is anything but the truth. Life, death, blessings, curses. The only two choices, only four choices you have are two, actually. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. If the neighbor walks up to you and says, I'm sorry about our old drunken party last night. I know we hooped it up a little loud. Could you forgive us? Don't say yes. Say, no, it was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have got drunk. You shouldn't have made all those noise. You should care about your neighbor as much as yourself. Woo-hoo. If you say, it's okay, don't worry about it, you've given them permission to do it again.
That's right.
You wouldn't be so nice if they say, I'm sorry, I came in your house, I took $100, but I needed it. Can you forgive me? You wouldn't be as nice under those conditions. You'd say, who do you think you are? Well, come on, let's get righteous from front to back, top to bottom. It says, speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, that's a command. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Christians don't get angry. They don't get mad, but they get angry. Y'all ever see a mad dog? Oh, you need to. You really need to. I saw him about once a week on the farm. A mad dog will bite himself. A mad dog is hurting and doesn't know where it's hurting, so he'll bite anything near. Did you know that's what rabies does? It causes pain in an animal. They have so much pain, they don't even know where it hurts, so they can end up biting themselves. They'll bite you also. Don't get mad. Get angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That means you'll probably end up with some wrath once in a while, but get it taken care of. Nor give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? You don't give place to God. I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance to answer. I just wanted to make sure you got it right. The way you give place to the devil is you don't first seek first the kingdom. You don't first give place to God. By the way, do you know we're supposed to help each other out on that? When your wife comes home ranting and raving, she's giving place to the devil. When the husband comes home ranting and raving, the spouse is supposed to say, let's get our focus back where it should be. A helper, the one that loves your soul, I don't care what relationship, they'll say, let's get this back where it should be. Right?
Amen.
They don't say, oh, he's had a tough day, just let him blow. Jesus had a tough day to cover our tough day. Don't take advantage. Don't try to crucify him again.
Amen.
I'm really blunt this morning, aren't I? Sorry. No, I'm not. God, you change me if you want. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what spirit do you have?
Spirit of truth.
Are you sure it's not the spirit of political correctness? Or is it the spirit of truth? He will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of Truth, did you know the Spirit of Truth cannot guide you in any place but the truth?
That's right.
And if you're going anywhere but the truth, it's not the Spirit of Truth that's guiding you?
That's right.
For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Then what should we do? There you go. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the only way we can have truth is to make sure we don't practice these 10 things. Is that confusing to you? Y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate. This says the Spirit of Truth. Let's just picture this right quick. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, walks into the presence of God, gets truth, and tries to bring it to you. Isn't that what this is saying? How come we don't catch it? Because we didn't seek first the kingdom. We've been speaking our minds. We've been worrying about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We get so many things interfering with the truth that we cannot hear the truth. Therefore, when we speak, we do not speak the truth.
Yes.
Got it? Worry and speaking your mind. The third one, we got to bring others down. We got to set them straight. They're getting too big for their britches. We bring others down. We can bring them down with... Did you know I can bring you down with my past as easy as I can bring you down with your past? See, with my past, I can stand up and use it as a testimony, or I can use it as an experience the Lord over you. If I want to not stay in the presence of God, then I depend on the past. Mine or yours. You see, if I can sit up here and preach to you that we're supposed to forget about the past, then I can't use your past or mine to make you forget about God. I can only point to the future. Do you think, from all the scriptures that we've studied, has there ever been a time when God points you to the past? One time. That's the Word. We read the Word all the time, which was written in the past, but it's supposed to be new every morning. That's why we remind ourselves so that it will be new every morning. Is that correct? If we want to stay out of the presence of God, we can talk about how worthy we are, or how much worth we have, or how important we are. If we want to stay out of the presence of God, we can convince them, me and you both, that's a them, that we have a right to refer to the past. You know the most prevalent one right now? Bad father, bad mother, bad sex relationships, bad marriage. You know what we do with that? We use that and give people the right to not worship God. Not right. Or give them the right to not serve God. Oh, I see the reason you did that. You had a bad father. I thought you were born again.
I am.
Then you don't have a bad father.
You've never
had a bad father.
Right.
You can't refer to somebody else that is no longer part of your life as a bad anything unless you make it that way, which keeps you out of the presence of the good father. Will a bad past relationship affect you? Yes. God can use it. He can let you bring up your bad past as a testimony about where not to go, not how to handle it, but where the answer is. You turn to the answer. You turn to the answer. Don't turn to the past. Turn to the answer. Another way to stay out of the presence of God is to wound and attack those with sin. Wound and attack those that don't fit your category of saved. Now, I didn't say in your life accept everything that comes down the pike. I didn't say that. There are things in my life that I must condemn. There are things in your life, I wouldn't point to you, in lives out there that I will not allow to touch my life. That doesn't make them wrong. It just keeps me from being wrong.
Right.
I can say I wouldn't do that. But what I can't say is you're going to hell if you keep doing that. I can't do that. Why? Because I'm not the judge. I can bring word up. If I will quote word, then I'm safe because it's not my words, it's God's words.
That's right. Amen.
I don't have to do that. But if I'm using my righteous judgment, which there is no such thing, unless it's God. God is my righteous judgment.
Amen.
If I do that to manipulate, then I'm sorry. I'm just going to stay. See, the reason I know that for a fact is because that's not what God does. You know how God convicts people? He shows them a better way. When he said, choose you this day, life or death, blessings or curses, he was showing a better way. Because you and I both know that those who he was talking to had already chosen the wrong way. Right?
Right.
They knew that. We read scripture last week that said that people that are sinning, they know it. You don't have to tell them. They know it. Because God is revealed in all things. Matthew 23:4. And by the way, don't ever, if you want to stay out of the presence of God, apologize for right. Don't ever apologize for right. Never, ever. If it is wrong, then you stand up and say, I'm sorry I can't go there. I'm sorry I can't do that. I'm sorry I won't do that. And I'm not sorry. What the United States desperately needs now is some men of God, some people of God, some women of God that stand up and say, I will not apologize for saying that. I will not apologize for telling you that homosexuality is an insult to God because that's what the Scripture says. Would you like for me to quote you the Scripture? I can look it up here right quick and show you. But I won't apologize. I won't apologize for telling you that you living with another person that's a wrong person is adultery because that's what the Scripture says. I won't apologize for that. Instead, we as a government are trying to remove those godly things out of people's lives. What? The Ten Commandments? I'm not apologizing for the Ten Commandments. God wrote that with his own finger. Do you think I'd insult him by saying, by slacking off at all?
No.
Matthew 23, 4 and 5. For they bind heavy burdens. We're talking about those that bring up past, that accuse, that attack. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. You know what the phylacteries are? Well, in this exact instance, it's jewelry that they wear. It was jewelry. It was bragging. But they make it large. It was where you hid your scriptures. So if you made it big, people thought you hid big scripture, a lot of scriptures. So you walked around with this big jewelry and you put burdens on other people. You want me to tell you how that works in church? There's a lot of people that memorize scripture so they can put you down. Do you know that? Then they want to quote scripture from, I've seen people set up and quote scripture for an hour and never stop. And you're going, God, I wish I could do that. And God says, when I want you to, you will. And he will. I was in a church one time where a guy was walking down the street in a white robe. He walked in the back door of the church, walked up down the front aisle, said, Pastor, can I say something? And he quoted scripture for 45 minutes. Christmas stuff, because it was around Christmas. Walked out the back door and nobody ever knew who he was or anything. I think it was God. I don't mean that literally. You know what I'm saying? It was God that made this man do that. He never came back to receive awards or accolades or a pat on the back or anything. He just did what God asked him to do. That's who I want to be. Fourth one, if you want God to flee or you want to leave the presence of God, let your mind go where it wants. Don't control it. Meditate on things other than God. Let your mind go where it wants. Let the news tell you the truth. Let your eyes and ears put fear in you. Let TV or radio show you the proper perspective. You ever heard that one? How many people that you know turn on TV or turn on a radio so that they can understand things better? There is no understanding there, guys. If you've called upon God, you have all the understanding.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Don't let anybody else put anything in there. Let your pets or your friends or your circumstances guide your schedule. God's not in that. 1 Timothy 4, 15 and 16 says this, meditate on these things. Did you know God dictates what you are allowed to meditate on? Give yourself entirely to them. That means you don't have any room for anybody else's perspective. That your progress may be evident to all, not your digress. You start quoting other people, and I promise you, you're going to lose the respect of people. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. You don't have time or room for anything else. Take heed to yourself and the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So it's not about you, it's about you and someone else. That's why you need to quote. Have you ever had anybody saved that's railing on the IRS? Did you ever get them saved by railing on the IRS? Railing on the government, railing on the price of gas, railing on whatever. You'll never see anybody change for better with those things flowing out of your mouth. You continue in faith and in doctrine. You won't have time to talk about anything else. Joshua 1, verse 8. Now you ready to get some heavy, heavy conviction? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth.
Amen.
The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Does that mean you have to memorize and quote Scripture 24/7? No! It means that everything you say must be based on Scripture. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. So what brings prosperity and success? Meditating on the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, and most of all, speaking. Because that saves you and others. That's what calls prosperity. So if you don't want the blessings, talk about everything else. Talk about the IRS. Talk about the accident. Talk about the government. Talk about anything else. Talk about the weather. And you won't save you or anybody else, and you're going to get broke, and they're going to get broke with you. Now, is that what that says? Joshua, verse 8, in case you want to study it. Joshua, first chapter, verse 8. Meditate on that, if nothing else. Number 5, listen to outside teaching and noise continually. Chuck's business has grown and grown and grown. And I remember when he really didn't have a business, he just thought he did, that he was allowing those people to blast that radio with some of the cruddiest stuff in the world. And he was driving him crazy. And I said, turn it off. It's your business. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Tell him, turn it off or you're fired. I'm not going to listen to that. Well, he did it. And he's been prospering because he stopped that stupid God-canceling noise. Noise will cancel God. Those radio and TV preachers and teachers, you know, the ones that really know everything, you got to turn them off once in a while. Sometimes often. TBN's had their praise-a-thon this last week, and I've monitored it closely. I was listening. Well, I was listening, and I was being quiet. My wife heard some of it. Rod Parsley was preaching. He was preaching a great sermon. Guess what it was? What was it, Connie? It's already there. He finally caught up. How long ago did we teach that? It's a great message. It's already there. You know why I know it's great? God gave it. T.D. Jakes, magnificent message that he preached. Everybody else, I've been turning off. Why? Because just because it's on TV and don't make it real. And just because it comes in on a talk radio show from some professional, don't make it truth. A lot of things they talk about there are facts, but they may not be truth. They're not truth. If you never want to get a blessing from God, if you want to be sure of that, never be quiet. If you want to stay out of the presence of God, never be quiet. Never get still and quiet. Keep noise in your ears. Keep noise coming out of your mouth. And watch God have no part of you. Count your words. Speak less of them. Never, ever be still long enough to hear God. Never. Because you're too busy. Never be still long enough to hear God. Never tell people, places, or things, be quiet, I need to hear God. Because you'll look dumb. Number 6, fellowship with the popular people, with the fun people. Make sure you party with the right people. Never go to church. You want to miss God totally? Don't go to church. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your enemies. You want to miss heaven? You want to miss God? Don't go to church. You're guaranteed. And I might add, if something that you are doing is aiding and abetting and people not going to church, you better stop it or change it. Not my command, God's command. Never, ever hang around people that live right. Never do that. It'll get you in the presence of God, man. You don't want that. Never, ever hang around those people that will hold you accountable. Never do that. That would be a godly thing, and you don't want that in your life. And always use the language they use so that you can be popular. Let me give you a couple of backup scriptures. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. And I want you to listen to this. And I want you to understand that when it comes to the Sabbath day, there is no excuse. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, if you do your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways. Now, you see how it changed right quick? Listen. Let me read it again. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, you know what that means? Okay. From doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you turn from calling the Sabbath a delight, see, I've got to put a little clarification word in there. If you don't call the Sabbath day a blessing to you, if you don't call the holy day of the Lord honorable, holy and honorable, that's what you have to call the Sabbath day. It's not a fishing day, not a hunting day, not a party day, not a money-making day, not your day. It's God's holy day. And if you don't keep that in mind, If you don't honor him by not doing your own ways, did you know that not doing your thing on the Sabbath brings honor to God? If you'll stop finding your own pleasure, it says. Stop speaking your own words. If you'll do all of these things, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. Then I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. And I love this one. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm telling you, when God says the mouth of the Lord has spoken, you know what that means? Karen would say, period, end. That means there's nothing else to be said. Don't want opinions. Don't want professions. I want you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath day, not what you want to do, what I want you to do. I think I've related this to you before, but I remember one time I made up excuses. Did you know we can make up excuses? Ox in the ditch is the best. Oh, my goodness. People that own their own business, they can get their ox in the ditch faster than anybody in the world. They can find more reasons to work on Sunday than anybody else. It was harvest time for me, and I needed that combine going, so I got on that combine, and I harvested. I mean, from camp to camp, and then some, turned the lights on and harvested, and I had the best day you ever imagined. Never had a smoother operating day in my entire life. Scared me to death. I got to the end of that day, and I said, God, I don't know what's wrong here, but something's wrong, and I will not do this again. God didn't have to rail on me. I hadn't given God honor once that day. I'd honored me and my harvest. And at the end of that day, it was like the devil blessed it. And I said, No, something's wrong here. I knew in here that was wrong, and I swore to God I wouldn't do that again. Exodus 31, 13 through 17, or 15, let's see, what is that? 13 through 17. You shall keep the Sabbath, and when you keep the Sabbath, it proves that it's holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Saturday is not your rest day. Or the day before the Sabbath is not your rest day. The Sabbath is your rest day. Holy to the Lord. Do you realize that if it says it's holy unto the Lord, you need to give it honor? If he's man enough to say this is holy, then you be man enough to say, I agree. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day rested and was refreshed. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now listen to this part. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean? Amen. You're going to get rest in each other. How many of you knew that I brought you rest? How many of you knew that you brought me rest? Well, it has to be so. The Bible says so. It doesn't ask me about my opinion. It says it brings me rest. It doesn't say it makes me feel good. Because if I waited around to feel good, I wouldn't be here anywhere else. As that friend of mine used to say, I'd be so far out in the woods, my breath would smell like cordwood. Number 7, you want to stay out of the presence of God, never pay your bills. Never pay your bills. This is what I mean by that. Never tithe. You want to keep God out of your hair? Never tithe. You want to never hear truth? Never tithe. You want to never be blessed by God's presence? Never tithe. Never give an offering. You won't ever have to worry about God because you never invoke His word if you don't tithe and give an offering. Here's the best way. No, that's the best way. Here's another way to keep God away from you. Never give somebody something without strings attached. Come on, let it soak in. How many of us do something for people and never want any return? I do. Oh, yeah? What if they don't thank you? Are you going to get mad? How many times have you seen people get mad when somebody just didn't thank them? That's got strings attached. Should we thank them? You bet. There's nothing wrong with that. But if I actually give you something, if I really give you something, I'm not going to expect you to bow down to me. That's not why we do it. This is not corporate America. This is God's America. He's got His own rules. I want you to listen to this. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done. What does that mean? For those of you that think the tithe went away with the New Testament, this is Matthew 23:23, and it says, tithe you should have done without leaving the others undone. What does that mean? That means just giving your tithe is not enough. Just giving your offering's not enough. You're going to give some more, and you're going to do it without strings attached. Deuteronomy 14:22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain in the fields of produce year by year. Acts 24:16-18. These being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. How many of you are more worried about what God thinks than men think? Well, if you don't want to hear from God, don't care what he says. Is that a better way to say it? You want to be in good with men? Be in good with God. Now, I didn't say they'd praise you. I didn't even say they'd pat you on the back. I just said no matter what you hear, they're going to know you're good. By the way, none of these things I've talked about are choices. I said if you don't want God around, do these things. Right. Number 8, always be satisfied right where you are. And you won't have to worry about God. I don't have to understand everything, but I have to know a few things. And one of the things that I know in my life is that God does not stand still. He doesn't want me standing still. He wants me on the move, learning, changing, and growing all the time. So if I want to do that, I have to be where God's at. But if I don't want God, I just say, you know, God, didn't you get the notice that I'm retired? Oh, well, I thought that it came to you the day I got saved. You should have gotten the notice. I'm perfect. And I don't need to do anything else. Never try to grow better. Never try to grow or get better. Never use your faith to rise above a problem or cause others to rise above a problem. Never use faith to get you to rise above a problem, and never cause faith to rise in others by coaxing them to trust God. Let me tell you, you know when God's going to show up? Big time. When you start raising other people up. When you start in their problems and their situations, you begin to increase their faith. God is there. You may not like it, you may not see it, but he is there. They're going to lay awake at night. They're going to remember what you're saying because it's what God says. God's going to bless you and them. Never, ever see yourself doing far beyond yourself and where you are today. You know the biggest enemy to faith in the whole United States? A job. I don't care if it's your own job. I don't care if you're working for somebody. A job, you begin to see your job as a box that you have to report to get a blessing. You'll let that thing start holding you down. God's way is, I want to bless you coming in and going out. I want to bless you in the country and the city. What is this? That means you got to be moving around some. At least in your mind, have some dreams that show you bigger than where you are now. And let God bless you in those dreams. Seed into those dreams. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean money. My goodness, it can mean a lot of different things. It's very simple. If you want a house, you don't have a house, you go look for a house. Well, what's that got to do? Well, you wouldn't look for a house if you didn't have the faith to believe you couldn't get a house. It's a simple thing, but it applies that way to everything. If God will allow you to dream, and it's not a real sinful dream, don't be climbing up somebody else's tree here. if you can dream, then you can put faith in that dream. The Bible says if you can say to the mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, right?
Right.
And not doubt, right?
Right.
Then you can have what you say.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with saying, God, thank you for where I'm at. I want to be in a higher, bigger place. In fact, what I'm telling you this morning, if you want the blessings in the presence of God, you're going to have to dictate that to your life. God, thank you for making me in charge of this little area. But I'd like for the area to be bigger. And then when you move to that bigger area, you say, God, thank you for making me in charge of this little bit bigger area, but I want a bigger area. You think that's insulting God?
No,
because that's the will of God. But if you want him to stay away from you, just say, you know what? I punch in at 8 and I'm over at 5 and I don't want to hear nothing else past that. Never reach higher. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you know how powerful that scripture is? How poignant, how directive it is? Let me say it another way. I command you, Jesus would say in red letters, walk by faith, not by sight. You want my presence? You want my blessing? You will walk by faith, not by what you hear, not by what you see, not by what you feel. What are we supposed to be, robots? Yes, a faith robot. Yes. God has poured word into you, and he's poured truth into you, and no circumstance should change that. Somebody pushes your button, out comes the faith in the word. You fall out of a vehicle, out comes faith in word. You get run over by a vehicle, out comes faith in word. Because you're not going to be changed by what you see or you feel. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Y'all want to quote it to me? You want me to read it? So Jesus answered and said to them, who said that? He said, have faith in God. Who did he say have faith in?
God.
He didn't say I have faith in me. Did you know that? He said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. And if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's how you get God out of the country. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Do y'all know the Hebrews chapter, the 11th chapter? It starts off by faith. I'm not going to read all that to you. It takes too long. Basically, bottom line, it says everybody that ever accomplished anything for God accomplished it by faith. Anything that was ever accomplished by anybody that was serving God was accomplished through faith. Not their talent, not their college, not their name, but their faith.
Amen.
Number 9. The best way to get God out of your life is to receive blessings and give tithes and titles to the world. Does anybody in here, have you ever recognized that you have a talent? Have you ever been godly enough to acknowledge that God has blessed you with some talent or talents? Then if you want to run God out of the country, give the credit to school or give it to experience.
Yeah.
Now, and I told my wife this yesterday, and I'll just repeat it to you. One of my biggest problems in life, one of the things that causes me to be so impatient, is that God has blessed me extremely. I don't have any problem figuring things out. I mean, I swear to you by God that you can put me nearly in any situation, that if I'm quiet enough to listen to God for a minute, I will get the answer. I'll look at a situation and God will instantly give me a solution. And I can't figure out why he doesn't do that for everybody. And then I realize he does. But what makes me impatient is that you don't realize he does. You don't put your mind to work. You don't put your faith to the test. My Bible says that he's not a respecter of persons. Does it not say that? So my impatience is in the fact that how come you can't think? Why don't you think? Then God speaks to me and he says, why don't you just get off your high horse? Why don't you give me thanks? You're not helping anybody by being impatient. So I got to struggle. The impatience is natural. The praise is natural. I just got to choke out the one and give the other. Right? And I'm telling you that I'm saying to that mountain, you got to be removed and cast into the sea. Come on. Some of y'all need to especially say amen. You've been hanging around me. You want to run God off, accept world titles. You want to run God off, accept titles that people give you. Like abused. Do you know that's a title? It negates saved. Shunned and rejected. So those are titles. Stupid or failure. Do you know sinner's a title? Doesn't belong to you. What do you accept it for? Did you know that sir is a title? Ma'am is a title. Doctor's a title. God didn't give it to you. Don't wallow in him. Wallow in his presence. Wallow in what he has. Stay out of the pig pen. The way to run God off is to call others by those same names. Don't let you are not allowed to be called by those, and you're not allowed to call others by those. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Anybody in here interested in anything except being saved? Ooh, I never asked that question before. Maybe I'll just ask it again. Maybe I shouldn't ask it. Maybe I should make a statement. There is nothing that matters except being saved. There's nothing else that matters. Not being rich, not being prosperous, not being powerful, not being on TV, not watching, not anything. The only thing that matters is being saved. There is no other salvation. No other name in heaven. So I'm not going to allow a title to rule me, whether it's good or bad. The only title that I want is saved. 1 Corinthians 2:2-5. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My goodness, do you know what kind of better world we'd be in if we just didn't listen to anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified?
Oh, yeah.
I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. This is Paul speaking. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I am what God says I am. I'm not anything else. That is my name. That is my position. Number 10. In all things, curse and bring down. Never bless and build up. You think God's in the business of cursing and bringing down? Then He's not hanging around anybody that's in that business, right? Make sure you call everything dumb and wrong. You know, if everything is wrong, nothing can be right. So God's not there. Come on. Let me shake you again. If everything's wrong, nothing can be right, and God's not there. Okay. Never, ever think that God might be doing something that you cannot yet see. Never, ever think that good can come out of something dumb. You won't have to worry about God talking to you if you just stay in that vein. Never thank God for who you are. Never thank God for who somebody else is. Never thank God for where you are right now. Always look forward to something better. Now, did you hear what I said? That was a little tricky. Because you're not better until you thank God, and you never will be. So if you can't be blessed right here, right now, you never will be. So don't be looking for the next check or the next pot of gold or the next rainbow or whatever to give praise, because it'll never happen. If you can't get that pot of gold right here where I am, if I can't be blessed beyond imagination right here, thank you, Lord. If I can't get into the presence of God right here, right now, and have my socks blessed off, then I never will. Come on, I want you to eat on that for a minute. It's so important. If you will stop complaining, God will move in. If you want to continue to complain, don't worry about God. He's somewhere else. He's in my house, because I'm going to be thanking Him. And when I'm not, I'm going to be working in that direction. I'm going to be taking conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be changing. By the way, I do that nearly every day, because you and I are made of the same thing. It's called dirt. And all we want to be is dirt, and all we want to do is dirt. And if I can't practice my faith, if I can't be that spiritual being that overrules the dirt, then I'm just going to wallow in dirt. Right? I mean, come on, let's get real. Let's admit it to each other. It takes a lot more effort for me to praise God than it does to complain. It just kind of, that's the way we are. We process good stuff and it comes out stinky. That's the way we're built. But we can change that. We can change that. Because I want what comes out of my mouth to be out of the abundance of my heart. And I want that checked and changed if it's wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. We need to practice this. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live.
Amen.
I would kind of like for me to live and my descendants to live.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to choose life, right? Psalms 109, verse 17. As He loved cursing, so let it come to Him. As He did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from Him. You know what? We'd be doing each other a great favor if when I call you and complain, you'd interrupt it and say, let's bless God for a moment. Because you really don't want me to wallow in complaints and pain, do you? So you got to encourage me to get out of it, just as I you. James chapter 3, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. 10 ways to keep God out of your house and His blessing. We need to remember something. God is a blessing.
Amen.
He owns all the blessings.
Yes.
He has nothing else. Right. When God comes to us, when He comes to us, then we see blessings. What do you mean, Stan? That means my pockets are full? No. It can be, but that's not what I mean. When God begins to come to you, you're going to feel like you're the most blessed person in the entire earth. And no longer will monetary things matter. No longer will children matter. No longer will grandchildren matter. No, nothing but His presence will matter. You begin to thank Him for His presence and operate in a realm that draws Him to you. You won't have to worry about the children and the grandchildren. God takes care of that. The answer is God, right?
Right.
I won't get all fret if somebody gets in an accident. So what? They're not dead. God, you got it. I knew you had it. I knew you did. Thank you, Lord. A bad message comes. I don't care what it is. A bad report comes. You need to hear the report of the Lord, not the report of whatever's coming over that stupid phone. If that phone is causing you to worry, hang it up and start giving the report of the Lord. If the TV or the radio is causing you to stress or worry, turn it off. Speak the report of the Lord, unless you just like fret and worry. And let me give you another little report that's a fact of human beings. Human beings would much rather talk about dirt than anything else. Our pain, our hurt, our sickness, our disease. You want to hear the phone get hot? You won't hear it over a testimony. You'll hear it over a worry.
Yep.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Learn how to hang up and turn off. What was it? A few weeks ago, Jason called. He's not at home. He's 1,000 miles away. Marsha's on the way to the hospital. Clayton. Was it Clayton? Clayton can't breathe. They're going to the hospital. He's having a hard time breathing. So he's calling me, panicking. Jason, did you give him to God? Well, yeah. And I said, then what are you worried about? They're not going to find anything. He'll go in. He'll go out. It'll all be over. Dad, he went in. He went out. There wasn't anything wrong. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. A few days later, Dad, they're headed back to the hospital. Okay. They must like to drive to the hospital. I thought the report was there's nothing wrong. What are you headed to the hospital for? Okay, Jason. Okay. This time they're going to go in. He's going to come out. And it'll be the very last time. Now listen, when God starts honoring your words, you learn to be more directive with your word. This time I think they nearly threw him out. Didn't do anything wrong. But you don't understand. I heard him. He's having struggle breathing. Now I am. Take me to the hospital. Do you believe everything you hear? Or do you believe what God says?
What God says.
Amen. Because as we've been studying the last few weeks, you determine the circumstances. The circumstances don't determine the circumstance.
Yes.
You determine that. Stan, you sound an awful like mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. Just don't matter. But if you mind, it matters. You know what? And when I was growing up, you know what mind meant? It meant obeying what you were told.
Yes.
You better mind me. I can hear God saying, you want blessings? Mind me. Quit using your mind because it don't matter. Mind me. That's right. That's why I want to change that bumper sticker. God said it. That's what the bumper sticker says. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No, 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 no. Somebody got something backwards. God said it. That settles it. I believe it.
Amen.
That's the correct way it should say. Because whether you believe it or not, makes no difference
that's
of where
right.
it's truth or not.
That's right.
The settling of the thing came back when God said, it is finished. It was reiterated when Jesus said, it is finished.
Right.
It'll be true in your life when you say, it is finished.
Right.
Amen? I'm excited in God.
Amen.
I'm not lying. We're still wrestling and wrestling with all kinds of things. And I'm getting free from the wrestling. Do you know what's the most dangerous thing in the world you can say to God? I don't care. Why? Because then you've really cast all your cares on Him. Now He's free to do what He wants to do. The first thing He'll do is encourage you. Are you hearing me? If you're not being encouraged, you're not being in God. Then we have to realize that we have to begin to work on minimizing problems. We need to be so goofy we say, what problems? I don't have any problems. God, you got some, but I don't. Come on.
Amen.
If you've cast all your cares upon Him, you can say that. Not a smart little kid. This is the way it is. Come on. By the way, Chuck, you know the best time for the devil to attack? right after a victory. Keep it in mind. And remember that that victory that you just had, it was not, there's no period behind it. We want to put timelines on everything. We want to draw lines. There's a victory. Psh, now I start. No. He walks victorious. That was just an evidence of a victorious walk. That was an evidence of a victorious walk. And sometimes you have to remind yourself of past victories to continue in the victorious walk. Come on. I'm beginning to get a better and better understanding of something that I resisted. But you remember I told you God told me, do whatever you want and I'll bless you?
Yeah.
Okay, what do I want?
That's God.
Isn't that what Nehemiah said? What do I want? I got all these options, but what do I want? I want God. But you don't understand. That's not a solution.
Yeah.
Now, come on. I can give you a test to make you fail so fast your head will swim. Because I know how we are programmed. I'm being reprogrammed at this moment. With great pressure, by the way. Fire promotes. Everybody say fire promotes.
Fire promotes.
I want fire. Oh, did you notice the decibel levels went down? No, you just want to say, I want to be promoted. You don't want to say, I want fire. You should have been up here and heard that. I mean, the words came out, but they were squeezed out. You know? I want whatever it takes for God to be proud of me. Can you say that?
Yeah.
All right, then there's going to be some tests that you are more than able to overcome. And in that is going to be freedom and victory. Right?
Right.
So I'm going to stay there. I'm going to walk there. And I'm not going to get discouraged. This is so detailed. I can't explain it to you. But I will not get discouraged in freedom. The Bible is a book of freedom. It removes all bondages and all sins and all worries. And we resist that. I resist it, and I know you do too. Because we don't think we're responsible people if we're free. So we take on this burden. Oh, God, I got to make the right decision. You did, me. Now, lighten up, bud. Lighten up. Don't worry. You made a choice. By the way, you need to make it again right now. Okay, now you're freer than you were. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How in the world are we ever going to rule and reign in this world if we have to take every little stinking detail so serious? It's not enough time. You don't even have enough time to raise that kid if you've got to worry about every little stinking detail, much less help raise somebody else's in the form of ministry of some type. We got to grow bigger than our worries and bigger than ourselves. Come on. I got to be so busy serving God, I don't have time to raise that kid. Now, that's not bad. I'm not saying that bad. But I promise you, if you're serving God, you're raising the kid. Jason was talking to me yesterday, and he said, Dad, I failed a test. Okay? Now, age can tell you, so what? But he's got this striving in there for perfection. I don't know where he got that. But he was top of his class, number one, far above everybody else, and he failed the test and he dropped the number 3. And it was bugging him silly. Dad, I don't understand that. What makes me want to be number one? Number one? That's my answer. There's no more answer. Number one makes you want to be number one. Anything less than that, it's not from number one, right? The difference is, Jason, you have the ability to do that. I said, I didn't raise you to fail. I didn't raise you to be number 3. You never got that out of me. So how would you be comfortable with it? I didn't teach you. What do you think? I took him in the back room and said, you got to be number one. You got to be one. No. You live as you should before him. Greatest teacher there is, a life. Y'all understand that? If you want God out of the picture, set a bad example, and he won't take credit for it. Come on, think about that. He doesn't want credit for a bad example. He has a high standard. You think God has a high standard?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Did he adopt you into the high standards?
Yep. Yeah.
Then you should have one, right?
Yep.
All right. We got to quit. I'm excited in God. I'm excited about the future no matter what it looks like. I'm excited about it. Because I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. Amen? I'm going to ask you something. What if your world turns upside down tomorrow? Karen, what testimony would you have this morning if your if your son-in-law and your grandchild were killed on that road? What would be your testimony tomorrow? Don't you answer him, because you don't know. You'll never know until you're there. But let me say it this way. You've got to build for tomorrow. And your faith is what you have to build. And your testimony has to be sure no matter what happens tomorrow. Because your faith's in God, not in what happens. Amen. That makes sense? Come on. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Good, because that's God, what I just told you. I wouldn't be happy with you, and you wouldn't be happy. But I don't mean to, I want to be blessed, not happy. You hear me? I'm not looking for the party. I'm looking for the truth. Never was tempted to do drugs because there wasn't any truth in it. Never wanted to do alcohol. There's no truth in it. Never did tobacco because there's no truth in it. Never had it enlighten me in any way. And I was, by the way, I was raised in the era where enlightenment came from drugs. Do you understand that? That's my generation. They were fools. God preserved me. I'm not a Cheech and Chong burnt out because of some stinking drug. God caused me to walk on those waters, not fall in them. To him be the praise and glory. Except for the grace of God, I'd have gone there. God cared enough to touch me and say, I don't want you going there. I yielded. I give him praise. How about you? I know a lot of people that are long distance to God. Not on the family plan. Long distance. They don't even know the number. When they need to call out for God, they don't even know the number. They need somebody to call so you can give them the number. Why don't you be the one they call? You be close to God so people will know where to come when they need to be close to God. Good goal? Stand with me. All hearts clear?
My leg got hurt and attacked me and hit me.
Why don't you give it a name? There's something been going through your mind.
Sinus.
Come on.
Sickness of some kind.
Give it a name. Don't be afraid to.
Hamstring or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I have no idea. Don't care.
No, but the devil attacks with a name. I'm promising you, the least little thing goes wrong, he calls out cancer, he calls out death, or he calls out something that will hurt your testimony, hurt your faith, and hurt your future. He attacks by a name, and that's why the Bible says there's a name above all names. We weren't just spitting it out. He knew how we'd be attacked. What's the worst case? Worst case name that's been given to you? Okay. Then you're healed. See, if we're not dealing with a name, then we already have the name. Okay, now what we're going to do, seriously, and since this is meat and not milk, you're you, and we're going to pray for you as a mature being, then we're not going to sit here in a long time doing anything but agreeing with you. So, Father, we agree with Chuck, the name that takes dominion over all names. There is no sinus as a threat. There is no a hamstring. There is no a permanency of any type that's affected him. He's a man. He's a man that works. We expect him to get sore once in a while. We expect him to get buffeted. But we expect out of the abundance of his heart to come out the name that takes dominion over all names.
Yes.
So now he tells his body to be healed.
Yes.
In that name, for that name.
Yes.
And we agree in Jesus' name that he's healed.
Yes. Yes.
And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes. Okay.
I don't know if you guys watched A&W last night, but they figured out who the guy was that was putting the collar bombs.
Putting the what?
Collar bombs.
Collar bombs. Okay, I heard about that one.
And they figured out he was a detective that was actually working on the case. And before they could get him, he died of cancer.
So the death that he had in him killed him. Nearly like the law of seed time and harvest, didn't it? Praise the Lord. We're in agreement that the enemy that's killing, stealing, destroying is exposed. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Hearts clear? Glad you came this morning. Appreciate it. Hope we didn't keep you too long. I hope God gave you something that will help you in the future and for today and yesterday and tomorrow. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you with all of our hearts.
Yes.
That comes out of our lives naturally. But we appreciate the dealing. We appreciate you dealing with us, Lord, on our shortcomings, those receipts that we didn't keep, those things that we wrote down wrong. We appreciate that you bring them to our attention before the enemy can use them against us. I thank you that that's what this word was about today, presented in an unusual form, but only to jog our memory and jog our positions so that we will curb our tongue. We will direct our studies and our hunger and our thirst, and let it all be directed towards you.
Yes.
We expect mighty, mighty things. We are not giving up in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We're going on with you no matter what. We love you, Lord. We look to you for all provision. We speak your word that what's been stolen from us, we command the enemy to return sevenfold, not just in our lives, but the church's lives and everybody in here, and to the kingdom of God. That's a promise. You said that we could see our enemies fall right before our eyes, and we expect that in Jesus' name. The enemies of us personally, the enemies of the kingdom, the enemies of the church, the enemies of the cross, we expect them. I want to see them fall so that more honor and more praise and more glory is given to you. Make your word alive and real, not just for the moment, but for the rest of this week and for the rest of our lives. Use us mightily. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.